الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه كما يحب ويرضى. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على حبيبنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ووسيلتنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز: ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون. وقال الله عز وجل في شأن حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. Infinite and abundant praise, complete perfection and glory is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord, our Creator, the one who sent us, the noble messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And salutations and peace and blessings be upon our Prophet, our messenger alayhi salatu wa salam, and upon his noble and purified family, and upon the noble and illustrious companions, and upon all of those who follow in the footsteps of Islam until the day of Qiyamah. Ameen. My respected elders, dear brothers, sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower upon you all, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your attendance, accept your pure intentions, and make this moment, this attendance, a means for your forgiveness, for your success and salvation in this dunya and also in the hereafter. Ameen. Previously on Jumu'ah, we began a discussion on some Islamic and religious guidelines for how to approach marriage for youngsters as well as for parents and the considerations that they need to have, because marriage is an inevitable part of a person's life. It is also a peak in a person's life, and therefore we need to be prepared for it ourselves as individuals, for those people who are about to become the Qurbani, the Bakra, as they say, and also for the parents, for them to be able to let go of their children, for them to grow, for them to learn, for them to develop, and perhaps make some mistakes along the way, but also for them to develop in a more holistic manner, because this is part and parcel of human nature. But this is a very important discussion for our youngsters as well as for our parents. And it was initiated by various emails and also by the current climate that we are living in. So a very brief recap of last week's introduction to that, and inshallahul aziz, hopefully today we can conclude last week's discussion. So it is a natural progression of human life. When you come into this dunya, you are nothing but a small baby. And then you become a toddler, then you become a child, then you become a person running around and parents chasing after you. And soon you become a teenager, and then there comes a time where you transition from the teenage years to your adult years, and you become a mini adult, and then you become a more mature adult. And then as time progresses in your perhaps 20s, late or mid-20s, then there comes a decision that you have to make as an individual, or perhaps your parents have to make, of what is your next step, the stepping stone in your life. And we discussed previously some statistics that how our youngsters now in this day and age, due to society, due to their career, due to their desire for the world and success and fame and various other reasons, they are delaying their marriage. And it is normal now, rather than marrying in the early 20s or mid-20s, it is becoming the norm to marry in the late 30s to the late 40s. And we have more women who are delaying this due to their own education and the pursuance of their career and their various things in their life. But marriage is a very important part of that stage in your life. From that marriage then comes so many other beautiful things when you become a partner, when you become a spouse, when you become a husband or a wife, when you become a father, when you become a mother, when you become inevitably, insha'Allahul Aziz, also a grandparent. But the scaring statistics are, then from at least 5 or 6 years ago in 2013 to 2015, they did a survey and they are showing that less and less people now in this Western society are getting married. And currently it's 18 million people are now leaving marriage. They're not going towards marriage. They're either remaining their bachelors and the bachelorettes and living a celibate life. And this is not something which is permitted by our tradition. The Prophet ﷺ said to his Sahaba ikram that you are not permitted to remain celibate throughout your life. You are there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made you in pairs to complete your life, for you to continue the propagation of your deen and your progeny and your lineage. So it's important for us, unless there is a medical reason or some other reason, for you to always make sure that you continue on that design, that fitrah, the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us. But 18 million people now are leaving marriage and staying away from marriage. And what we are seeing more and more in the Western tradition, and the reason why it's alarming for us, is because these Western traditions that we think, oh, it doesn't matter, it doesn't affect us, it does. Because these are the same traditions that slowly filter into our Asian culture. You can look at the people now in Asia, in the Middle East, and how they dress and how they behave and how their lifestyles are. It's very similar to our lifestyles. And what they think here is the norm is slowly becoming the norm there. So people now in the UK, more and more, up to 30 to 35% of people are having live-in relationships where they have a girlfriend, they have a boyfriend, or they have a partner, and they just live together. And they have children outside of wedlock, and they think this is absolutely fine, because this is okay for them. But we know from the Islamic paradigm, the Islamic perspective, this is not permissible for us. There needs to be these guidelines, there needs to be these parameters, there needs to be a sharia on how we conduct ourselves and how we protect ourselves and we give the rights and responsibilities towards one another. So living relationship is not an option whatsoever for Muslims. Remaining celibate is also neither an option for Muslims either. So we need to look at this fitrah, this design that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for us. And we hear in the Quran, رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Oh Allah, oh our Lord, grant us from amongst our wives. So give us partners, give us spouses, and give us offspring who will become the comfort to our eyes and make us an example for the righteous. You have to become an example for your children on how to live a good marriage, how to have a stable marriage, how to have a happy marriage. And then they will become a copy of you, and they will continue in that particular trend of making sure that they also marry male to female and female to male, the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained for us and has designed for us. And by marrying, you also complete your, or at least half of your iman. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentions that مَنْ رَزَقَهُ اللَّهُ إِمْرَأَةً صَالِحًا فَقَدْ أَعَانَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ شَطْرِ دِينِهِ. That whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants or blesses with a righteous spouse, a righteous woman, and this is also inclusive of a righteous husband, that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enabled him to complete at least half of his faith, half of his religion. فَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهَ فِي الشَّطْرِ الثَّانِي. And therefore he should be aware and be concerned and be very, very particular in how he completes the remaining part of his faith. So half of your faith, half of your deen is found in your partner. If they are a righteous partner, they will encourage you to pray and worship. They will encourage you to maintain the sha'airillah, all of the hudud of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So marriage is that gateway towards growth, towards your development, towards the natural step in your life. It provides you with that stability in your life, because you know exactly who you are and where you are going. You're following this particular trajectory. It gives you some form of happiness and joy within your spouse, and also with your offspring, with your progeny. And also, most importantly, by marrying, you are actually preparing yourself for the hereafter. You do dua for your wife, she does dua for you, and via your children, you nurture them and you take care of them, and they take care of you even when you are no longer here. They continue to do dua for you, tawbah for you, istighfar for you, khairat and sadaqat for you. So these are very, very important things of not just thinking for now or your career, but thinking in the long term for actually your hereafter. And we discussed a very important point of having idealistic notions or expectations towards a spouse, that she needs to have this. She needs to be Miss World and Miss Universe, and she needs to have the best career and the finances, the most beautiful and the most calm and the most caring and cooking and cleaning and an expert and a chef and all of these things. These are idealistic notions, but the reality is very, very different. And similarly, on the other side of the spectrum, they have these expectations of how much earning and wealth and property and all of these other things that you have. So we have to be realistic in our expectations. Why? Because we ourselves are not perfect. No matter which family you hail from, which khandan you hail from, you yourself are not perfect. Your parents are not perfect. Nobody is perfect. No imam, no sheikh, no person is perfect. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most perfect. And after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected His prophets and messengers, and they have this certain degree of perfection. But everyone else is imperfect in their human nature. So we are not perfect. So therefore we don't have a right to expect perfection from other people in their lifestyle, in their behavior, in their conduct, etc. And again, I mentioned very quickly that we look towards the film, the media, the books and the society, and we say, oh, this is how marriages should be. This is how harmonious or beautiful marriages should be. And they lived happily ever after, and she gets the guy and the guy gets the girl in all of these movies. But this is all fake. It's made up. It's a concoction. It's not a reality. Marriage, the real marriage is, it's all about compromise. It's about communication. It's about constantly putting that effort in. Not just enjoying yourself during the honeymoon period and everything is hunky-dory. It's really about working through those days and weeks and months and years over and over and over throughout your lifetime. Getting through all of those trials and tribulations through health, through new in-laws, and through the dynamics of an extended family, through a new house, through a new child, through all of these things which are constantly changing. It's about that constant effort and trial. It's that constant tolerance and understanding and learning to compromise from both parties. Not just the woman always has to be subservient and she has to listen and the male is the patriarch. And no, it's about that compromise. The hands have been created to complete one another, to complement one another. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made rishte, has made relationships, has made unions, has made couples as well. So partners have a right to speak. The woman has a right to speak up. The man has a right to speak up as well. They both have an equal right to their opinion, to agree, to disagree, to challenge one another, to encourage one another. But they should not misconstrue each other's challenges for disrespect, that how dare you raise your voice at me, or how dare you challenge what I've said, jukadita kadita, as they say, oh, I put my foot down and this is it. No, you always need to see other people's perspectives. Okay, battery's dead. So commonality is very, very important, that you need to be on a similar wavelength to your partner. You need to have similar interests with one another. But at the same time, you also need to make sure that you don't look for a carbon copy of you. Just a photocopy, the things that you like, the things that you do. She has to like everything that you do. She has to be like you. No, there needs to be some differences. And one of the major faults that we find in men is that they always look for an image of their mother or image of their sister. Why? Because all they've done throughout their life is take care of their brother, take care of the son, and done everything for them. Whereas the husband and the wife, they have to work together to take care of each other. She's not there as your maid, she's not there as your servant or your slave. You are there for one another, to work with one another, to balance out and to enable the productive growth in your relationship. And then we discuss very quickly also the importance of looking for deen in a relationship. The main criteria in a relationship, in a rishta, in a successful rishta, is the deen. Not just the wealth, not just the status, not just her hasab and nasab and where she hails from or her beauty, but rather look towards her religion. All of the other things, they fade with time. Beauty will fade, wealth will fade, status will fade, and these things will cause much friction as well. Whereas the deen, she fears Allah, you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She knows to uphold the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you know that you have to uphold the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one is higher or above the rules of Allah azza wa jal, and you learn from the examples of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So coming back to the primary verse that I recited at the beginning, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا, that this is a sign, this is a lesson to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has created you from one nafs, from one entity, from one being, and He has created partners for you, companions for you, so you complete each other's life. You do not compete with one another. Yes, a little bit of competition is healthy in a relationship, but not the sense where we have this competition there. I've done all of this, what did you ever do for me? Or she says, I've done all of this, what did you ever do for me? And there's this constant bickering and fighting. No, healthy competition is good, but we need to be complementing each other, completing each other's life. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that you are from the same source, the same essence, and you need to respect each other, be and see eye to eye, stand shoulder to shoulder, walk together hand in hand. This is how your relationship has been designed by Allah Azza wa Jal, to live in harmony, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, to live with each other in peace. If you don't have peace in your heart, if you don't have peace within your home, then what is the purpose of that marriage? So this is a very important thing for you to look into before you go and look for a rishta, that how stable is that individual, how much, what do they do in their life. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places this affection, this love, this cordiality in that relationship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places rahmah, mercy in that relationship. So these are some of the core things that we need to look into when you are considering marriage, considering to approach marriage as individuals and also as parents as well. One of the major things that parents need to look at, as well as the individuals, is how practicing is that individual. We always say, how old are they? Whether they're fair, whether they're tall, whether they're short, what kind of degree they have, how much money they earn, and all of these things, these are on the top of our checklist. We never ask them, do they have a beard? Do they wear the hijab? Do they pray their salah 5 times a day? Do they make sure that they discharge their zakah? Have they fulfilled all of these rights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed upon them? If a person is failing in their relationship with their Lord, and if they are failing to establish their salah 5 times a day, then of course they'll also fail in their relationship and their responsibility towards you. If they don't fear Allah, then how will they ever fear you? It's a very simple analogy. And also that zakah and sawm and salah, these are the constant things where a person is constantly struggling, constantly trying to get closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person is doing this, then they will also try constantly and they will make an effort in their relationship with you as well. And salah is one of the most important things. That if a person doesn't practice and you are practicing, it will cause a friction within the relationship. And then when you will have children and you will want them to pray, you will want them to establish their deen, because the parents are not doing it, or one parent is not doing it, then it will again cause a major upheaval within the family as well. So it's very important from a very, very young age, from the outset in a relationship, that you try to find those people who are practicing in their deen. And Imam Shafi'i, in the Shafi'i fiqh, it's actually one of the key conditions or the criteria. They say, if a person, the first thing they ask in a rishta, if a person is not praying 5 times a day, they don't actually conduct the nikah. This is how strict they are. But we say, chalo khair hai, baadij padh li si, baadij dari rakh li si, baadij hijab la li si, theek ho jaisi, baadij haj tak sara kuch kar li si, shaadi to baad, theek ho jaange. No, it doesn't work like that. Shaadi to baad is mostly downhill rather than uphill. So you need to have a strong base, a strong foundation in order for you to build a home, in order for you to build a monument, in order for you to build a family, for you to build a community. And this is where we are lacking, and this is why the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said that if a person comes to you and his khuluq is good, and that person is deendar, that person is practicing in their deen, then you should not reject that rishta. Because if you do, then fitna and fasad and corruption will spread throughout the community. And this is what, unfortunately, we are doing. girls and boys are discarding rishte purely because that this person obviously doesn't earn enough, he's not good looking enough, he doesn't have the right degree or qualification. They don't look at his deen, they don't look at how practicing or stable he is. Another question that youngsters ask is that should you get married early? This is obviously a very a serious question as well for youngsters, but there needs to be a context to that as well. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentioned that, ya shabab, that he addressed all of the youngsters, that, oh young people, whoever among you can marry, then he should marry or she should marry. Why? Because it helps him lower his gaze and guard his modesty, i.e. his private parts. And whoever is not able to marry, then they should fast, because fasting diminishes the sexual power. If you look at the society we live in, the rampant, highly sexualized society that we live in, what happens if a person is not able to marry? Because we are all human. At the end of the day, we all have desires. We all have these things within us, given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we do not discharge it or use it or channel it in the correct way, we'll end up towards pornography, we'll end up towards living relationships, we'll end up towards many, many of those things that are dangerous and harmful for us. Whereas the right way and the correct way is that if you are mature, if you are sane, if you are stable within yourself and you have the ability to marry, then you should marry. That is better for you, far more protective for you. And if you are unable to do that because you're not yet mature enough or stable enough financially or emotionally, then yes, you should delay that until you are stable enough. But at the meantime, you should fast as much as you can to protect yourself. So the world that we live in is very, very important to understand these things, and we need to protect our children. Oh, ajay bachcha, 25 saal ho, 30 saal ho, phir shaadi kar, so you don't know up until 30, he may have three or four, you know, women on the go, or maybe even children that you don't even know about, or many, many relationships that he's had and nobody knows about. Why? Because you delayed that thing. So the context is very, very important. Maturity, emotional and physical maturity, is very important for that person to have that discipline. He knows he not just has to take care of himself, but also his partner as well, to be physically and mentally and financially able. If you have that ability and that state, irrespective of your age, i.e. when you're obviously mature enough, then you should ideally get married earlier rather than later in your life. And also from the Islamic perspective, I want to share with you something very important that you may not have heard, but marriage can be fard upon an individual. Marriage can also be wajib upon an individual. Marriage can also be mustahab upon an individual. Also, marriage can be makruh upon an individual, severely disliked. And marriage can also become haram on an individual. You might be thinking, well, how can these things happen? For example, a person who is mature, who is sane, who is able, all of these things, but he has this great fear that he is unable to control his desires, unable to control his sexual appetite or lower his gaze and protect himself, then it's fard upon him to marry as soon as possible, for him to do that in the correct way rather than go out and destroy himself or destroy other people's lives in society. It becomes fard for that person, and further upon the parents to make sure, because parents know the children, they know the idiosyncrasies, they know their habits, they know when they're going out, they know what kind of relationships that they have, especially the late night relationships. So parents need to be aware of this thing, that it's further for me to make sure that as quickly as possible I get my child married. Or it's wajib as well, which is necessary for you when you're close to that particular haram, for you to do that as quickly as possible. Or when it's mustahab, when it's recommended and it's sunnah for you, when there's no other, you know, major things, but yes, it's the right age, right time, then it's preferable for you to get married as soon as possible. Or it can be makruh for a person, you know, who wants to get married, but they're not financially able to do so, or mentally able to do so, or they're not at that particular age. Or it can be haram for a person to get married. How can it be haram for you to get married when a person is a narcissistic person, when they have schizophrenia, when they have other medical issues, other mental issues, or they are violent within themselves, and the parents know this, and they have all of these issues, but the parents just ignore it and say, nay, shadi kar la, o teri begum jane, o jane, and then you end up destroying your life and the life of many, many other people. It's haram for you to get married or for your parents to marry you off in those circumstances. So we need to be really, really careful about us and who we are, where we are in our life. Whether you are a young couple going out, somebody, look at yourself. What should you be doing in terms of your marriage, in terms of your nikah? Children often at university find other people, and then rather than tell their parents, they engage in a 3-year relationship, and then obviously you know exactly what goes on, or there's an illicit relationship going on. You need to look at the halal way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed for you. You're sane, you're mature, you're able to take care of yourself and your wife, then you should marry. You shouldn't be delaying these things until a career comes or a better opportunity comes, all of these other circumstances, and end up doing haram for many, many years because the halal were just not right, or society was just not ready, or my parents were just not ready. We need to really, really understand all of these aspects in relation to marriage. So what are the limits of getting to know your spouse as well? This is also a very, very important aspect of background research, doing dua, doing istikhara, consultation, asking, inquiring with the friends or with the family members, assessing all of the qualities and the compatibility issues. And then if you see all of these things are in the right place, it's like a mathematical equation. More maths and less chemistry, because chemistry will lead you to another path. So you need to have more maths in this particular area. And then involve your parents, involve your family members, and then meet the family formally and meet them publicly, never in private. You should always be chaperoned. You should never have seclusion, khalwa, with that other individual. This is not the way of the sunnah. And then if all those things are connecting, then do khitbah, do an engagement, do a proposal, but don't lengthen the proposal for long periods of time in the lieu that, oh, I'm going to find out all of the things I want about her and then I'll marry her. And then by that time you've disclosed all of those private things and then it doesn't work out. And then you've destroyed your time and, you know, her time, and also relationships as well. So it should be assessment, time, age, all of these things, followed by the proposal, and also shortly followed by the nikah as well. How much should you tell? This is a very important part, because nikah is like a contract. This is important. It's a contract, and in contract you have to outline all of the details. You can't hide any defects. So mothers and parents and fathers, they need to be very, very clear, very, very honest in their assessment and saying, look, this is what problems that my son has. My daughter has this problem, or she has this medical problem, she has this emotional problem, or financially or emotionally or physically. You have to disclose all of those things. Otherwise, when you go into a relationship and your mother never told me this, if I knew this, I would never have married you, then you can see the whole relationship itself, it breaks down. So the nikah, because it's a contract, both parties have to disclose all conditions, medical, mental, emotional, financial conditions, before you go out and continue, obviously, with that nikah itself. And you should, and you can marry from different cultures. There's no Islamic rule that says you can't marry outside of your tradition. You can marry a person from Bangladesh, person from India, person from Afghanistan, person from Asia, anywhere in the world. As long as they are practicing, they are Muslim, they are the right partner for you, you can marry them as long as they say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. So there's no this particular, oh, sirf sade khandan, sade baradri, you have to marry. This is not the way. The Prophet ﷺ married outside of his family. The Sahaba ikram married outside of their family as well. And parents need to be understanding and not be disappointed or start to discriminate or be prejudiced towards their children. All of these guidelines are very, very important for children to understand, and also for parents to understand as well. Otherwise, then we do end up going towards certain situations where marriages have been forced, or they have not been addressed in the correct way, or gone out about in the correct manner, and then marriages break down, then animosity and problems occur, and then it ends up leading towards divorce. And inshallah, we will talk about divorce as well. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to follow these guidelines as mandated in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.